I'm Susan LeBay for Women's Focus, and today I'm, as part of the series that I'm doing of profiles and conversations with women who are running for office, I'm talking to Mary Ellen Broderick, who is running for the House of Representatives in New Mexico in District 30. Welcome.
Hi, thank you, Susan.
Well, this is your first time running for office and the first time that you've been in the public eye. So tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I am an architect by profession, and I have practiced in really the private sector of architecture, working on public projects for the past 30 years of my career.
And has that been in Albuquerque?
Yes, since 1994, I've been in Albuquerque working on large public projects, yeah. Okay.
Tell us a little bit of some of the buildings that you've worked on.
You know, I was lucky enough to be part of many courthouse projects that have taken place in the state. The Albuquerque Federal Courthouse, I was at Fleet O'Moore Schaefer McCabe at the time, and I worked on that for several years, 5 years, about Chavez County Courthouse, which is a wonderful old 1913 old gorgeous building, one of my favorite buildings in the state, renovated that and put an addition on. And then I went back to the federal courthouses and worked on one in Las Cruces, the federal courthouse in Las Cruces, and the federal courthouse that was just completed 2 years ago in El Paso Courthouse.
Architecture has always been a kind of hard profession for a woman for some reason, and it's taken a while for women to get into it.
Yeah, it is. It really, I was blessed that architecture came pretty easy to me as a kid. You know, that I always built models and I just grasped that three-dimensional thinking. I like to say that I execute great building systems. But it has been a tough row to hoe to make my path in architecture through the male-dominated profession, yeah.
Okay. And so how has that sort of played itself out in terms of getting on projects or getting people to listen to your ideas? Or?
Well, it's funny. The architectural community, architects themselves, have been a little bit more stringent as far as my career than, let's say, the contractors. When you're working for contractors, and whether you're male or female, they just want answers and they want to put the building together and get on with it. So as long as you come prepared with answers and knowledge, then you're going to have respect. But I also learned that if I walked into a building as the architect and there was a male with me, all discussion would go to the male. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for a while, I wouldn't let men go in with me because I wanted to be able to not have that distraction. Mm-hmm. But eventually, it just, you know, age plays a good part at that point.
Let's talk about how you got involved in politics.
Well, my partner and I, Barbara Wold, we both fell in love with the DENIAC movement in 2004. In his run for presidency. And when he didn't win, he suggested that people stay involved, don't get disenfranchised, stay involved and keep on contributing your time. And, you know, in the words of Howard Dean, he said, if you vote, you get just a grade C in civics. If you run for office, you get a grade A. So lo and behold, here I am, not going for the grade A necessarily, but I never thought I'd be running for office. And we kept the Democracy for New Mexico blog alive, and it still is going. And we ran a monthly meetup since 2004. So we just kept on plodding our way along in Democratic politics and trying to get our voices heard and let the people that are poor and don't have the wherewithal to be able to get their voice heard, we tried to fight for the underdog.
Okay. When you say we, it's no longer Barbara.
Right. My Barb passed away in December of 2011, and it was just a year ago that she was really, really sick, and I was fortunate enough to be able to be at home with her. She was diagnosed with colon cancer in September of 2011, died 3 months later, and I was able to give her the utmost dignity and help in that very important part of our life when we pass.
Okay. What do you think she would think about your running?
Well, I can feel her pushing me on every once in a while, saying, go ahead, go to that door, even though it's a Republican. Go ahead. So she would say, I told you so, you know. But I think she would be very proud. So I have decided to keep that movement going, all that Barb and I talked about, and to try to make more justice happen in the state, in the communities, in our country.
I should say that you and I know each other from Emerge, and I've done interviews with other people from Emerge before and with some of the founders of Emerge, and our audience has heard a lot about Emerge, which encourages women to run for office. But it's one thing to run for office and to decide to do a campaign. That's a big step, and it takes a lot of thinking. But then to think about what you want to do once you're in office is a whole different thing. So you talk about justice, but let's talk a little bit more about what you want to actually do.
Right. I am in the Emerge class of 2012, and it has just been a great learning experience, and every session has been very timely to what has been going on with my campaign since March. So what I hear going door to door, and what I think it's common to what we're hearing federally as well as a national stage, people are fed up. People need work. People want stability, dignity. People are very worried about the education that's being delivered in the state. So it's jobs and education to a great extent. Yes.
That's what people are asking for. Is that what you want to work on?
Well, it's such a general topic, jobs and education. Jobs can, in my view, be created by, at this time, like what Franklin Delano Roosevelt did with the WPA after the Great Depression. I think that we should really be still focusing on creating jobs in that same manner, mm-hmm. having more capital outlay. I think that my job as an architect, I was laid off in 2010. I haven't really regained full employment in architecture. Underemployment would be my category. And I think that a great reason why that happened was the capital outlay in 2011. Martina's administration and my opponent voted against that capital outlay, and that's like $250 million. So here we sit. It takes a while to procure $250 million. So that's why, you know, the architectural, the AE industry, the design community has been really hit hard by this recession. The construction industry we all read about, you know, that's on the front page of the paper. Well, everything that's built has got to be designed before. Mm-hmm. So that same ripple effect of unemployment and people not working is in the AE industry very seriously. So I think we do have to get more revenue in. You know, I do believe that people that have made the most money amongst us through these years should now go back to paying more taxes like they were prior to 2003, prior to the Bill Richardson tax cut that he instituted at that time.
It's hard to be, I imagine it would be hard to be an architect in New Mexico without thinking of some of the WPA buildings that they're so prevalent in New Mexico and make it such a rich culture here.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of the other issues that women are interested in. Where do you stand, for instance, on women's health and on reproductive issues?
Well, I feel like that's another reason why I kind of stepped into the race is the fact that we're redefining rape and incest and these things is just really, you know, where are we going? You know, these are issues that have been resolved years and years and years ago. So we just can't sit back and let this happen. You know, I feel it's like a privilege to be doing this, but also a must. Okay. And I'm pro-choice for sure. That doesn't mean that I'm anti-life, because I actually think that would be a horribly hard decision for a female to make. And I don't think that there's anyone that would make that just casually. And as far as health care, yeah, the war on women is still on, you know, and it has ramped up, if anything, right now. Okay. And it's disturbing.
What about other pay issues? There are some proposals there's some pay equity proposals, and there will be some family medical leave, and talk about that.
Well, I think that we've always been shortchanged. Pay equity is, you know, as a architect in the profession, I've always been underpaid. And I'll tell you I think the absolute truth right now that's going on in architecture, and it is an old boy society, is that they are hiring males back to the jobs much more readily than advanced females, accomplished females in the profession. Mm-hmm. So that's really, it's alive and well, mm-hmm. Discrimination and sexism and holding back of women. I don't know whether I'll ever work at the level that I was at before, because I just, unless I move to a city, a different city, but you know, as far as so pay equity is still, you know, hopefully in my life I'll see that my efforts have helped other young women that are coming up. Mm-hmm. That's all I can hope for. Okay. Same with healthcare. You know, what really cracks me up is that we have this society that's fixated on this abortion stuff, and if you watch TV, I don't know, every third ad is about Viagra or Cialis. And that to me is, you know, how about some, you know, reality check on what causes the pregnancy? And that maybe we shouldn't be investing so heavily in those drugs, and maybe some of that money and the funds that the prescriptions and those things at the pharmacy, and those are okay to be filled. Maybe we offset that and get some more female care to fill that void.
Talk a little bit about what the campaign has been like. On your blog, you talked about a push-pull that was, I guess you really can't really tell what a push-pull, where it's coming from.
Right. It's hard to tell where a push-pull does come from. You know, it was the topic was about Mary Ellen being a lesbian, and that if I was and it went to the constituents in this District 30, if kind of a fear-based message, if you knew Mary Ellen was a lesbian, would you vote for her? If you knew Mary Ellen only desire to run for office is so that she can get marriage equality, would you vote for her? Or would it influence your vote? It was done by the opponent or someone with the opponent somehow. But, we don't know the answer to it. But, I feel like Barb's and my relationship was so precious that, you know, if my love grew for her while she was passing, then it's way beyond love, I think, as far as any kind of this whole argument over gay, LGBT, you know, rights. Love is love.
When I came in, I sort of walked in the middle of you talking with some of your supporters and them doing various work on the campaign. How's the campaign going?
It is going really well. It's really been a great learning experience. As I said earlier, I've never thought I'd be running for office, and here I am. And it really is going along magnificently. The numbers look good, and we've got a big GOTV effort that's starting now. Mm-hmm. Early voting was really a great turnout on Saturday, so I've been told. Haven't seen any statistics from that. But and I've assembled this great team. This is Mary Ellen's campaign. My campaign is, I think, the epitome of grassroots. You know, it's a lot of friends, a lot of smart people, a lot of people that care, that have all assembled to help me get over that finish line. And that's what we're pushing very hard.
Good. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Susan.